salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning there, folks. I hope you're not all panicked wondering where the heck the coach was today. Been doing a few updates here on a computer, and believe it or not, I kind of got locked out on my own end. I don't know exactly what happened, but here we are live and in color on the 22nd day of April, 2019. Lord's not making another one. What a day to be alive. Jared, I just noticed something with our friends at Before It's News, beforeitsnews.com. I always check that streaming. It says the video is unavailable. The video has been removed by the user. I don't know if that's us or them or some technical issues, but I just thought I'd make you aware of that. Maybe it's on their end. We're not in trouble with those boys at all. Uh-oh, a battery's running low. So my wife, if you're listening up there, sweetheart, please bring down my battery cord. It's been one of those mornings. Is it okay? It's been one of those mornings. Look, you can't see this because I've changed my position. I got me a new microphone here, and that's been the genesis of all these problems here this morning, but we're up and running. Thank God for Jared and all he does. He keeps me straight. It's my own fault. My computer's just been one of those mornings here this morning. I got a busy day ahead of me, and I'm not going to share with you some of the things we got going on, but big day. A lot happening. And I want to just make sure that we give you a good overview of what's going on, where we are, why America's in the mess we're in. Welcome to those of you who've never, ever tuned us in today. You're watching Coach Dave Live at Coach Dave Live. If you ever lose us and you can't find us, maybe you're watching on Before It's News. Maybe you're watching on YouTube. Maybe you're watching. We never know what's going on. We get banned all the time, a lot of different places. You can always find us here at Coach DaveLive.com, CoachDaveLive.com. So we're doing a lot. I think Michelle's coming down to try to help me out here. I don't know how. Sweetie, maybe you can do it for me. Come over here. Bear with me, folks, as my bride helps me. Boy, I'm glad I'm not Rush Limbaugh or somebody. There's one spot there you can plug in, sweetie. Atta girl. Is she something? Because my battery's about to run out and I need it. Do you ever go to sleep at night and forget to plug your computer in? I think that's what's happening. Michelle, let's see. Am I charging now? I think I'm charging now. She got me plugged in. We're all good. We're up and running. Okay, Jared, man, let's get my feet under me here. A lot of things I want to talk about. I want to hear, first of all, as we get rolling here, I want to hear your Easter stories. I got a couple emails from some people of things that happened at Easter. You know, their experience. I want to hear some of that. But before we do, I want to jump here. Let's get us into our calendar because I got some very pretty important stuff I want to be able to cover for everybody on our calendar. trying to make a difference, right? I'm noticing, Jared, this. I'm a little bit pink today. Is it because, folks, you got to laugh at us, don't you hear? We're high. Jared, I put some styrofoam over here and it's pink. Is that what's making me pink, you think? If I take that. Okay. I did that, folks, because it's supposed to help with our sound reverb a little bit. So we're trying to do that away. Jared's doing our schedule up there. I want to run down through a couple of these things that are really, really important. May 10th. Boy, and that's coming up quick, isn't it? May 10th. We're doing a huddle down in Louisville, Kentucky. All the information's there. Listen, Bobby Lee is a trooper. He's worked his tail off trying to wake people up. He hosted a huddle up in the Bethlehem, PA, Allentown, PA area because Bobby lives up there now. He's originally from Louisville, Kentucky. And on May 10th and 11th, he wants to have a huddle in the Louisville area, which 2 years ago is when the arrest on Mother's Day of the 11 people at the abortion clinic there in Louisville happened, the only last remaining abortion clinic in Kentucky. So if you click on that, you can see all the information that that Bobby's got there applied for. So who you're supposed to contact. There's his email, all that stuff. If you're in the Kentucky, West Virginia, Southern Ohio, man, we'd love for you to come and be part of it. We were hoping we were going to get a little bit more cooperation from some folks, but it didn't happen. But we're still going to go on with it. You can see the huddle begins Friday night at 3 o'clock, 3 to 7, and then we're going to go to the clinic early on Saturday morning, and then we'll get you out of there. All right? That's the May 10th and 11th. That'll be here before we know it. Jared, click on that next one for me, buddy. I'm going to be in New York City, the city. Here, the Watchman Conference is coming up May 31st. That's first May 31st. First and second, it's a little different than other Hear the Watchman conferences. This one is Russ Dizdar doing an extensive spiritual warfare teaching. It's really what it's about. Russ will be there. A lot of Russ's team is going to be there. Like I said the other day, how I ended up in the middle of this, I don't know, but we're going to be there as well, May 31st, June 1st, 2019, Hear the Watchman conference at Long Island. More information is available at hearthewatchman.com. That's where you can find that information. And go to the next one, Jared. The national event. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Come on, folks. National event, all hands on deck, June 14th. Now, remember, we're going to start this Friday morning, June 14th. Well, I want you to try to arrive on Thursday evening if you can. Early in the morning on Friday, we're going to have an event going on. We're going to a lot of good stuff we'll share with you as you go. Now, understand this. We're going to put up a big tent, one of those big under the big top things. And if you want to come and sleep under that tent, bring your, you know, bring a air mattress or bring something like that. You can, it's right on beautiful Buckeye Lake. It's going to be a great venue. Mike Blake's letting you use his venue there. Bring your sleeping bag if you want to. There are hotels around. There's a KOA around. All kinds of things. It's going to be a great, great event. As I said, last year we had 77 people from 21 different states. We hope to double that this year. It says on here the cost is free. That's not true. We're going to update that. The cost is going to be $30 because we're going to provide three meals for you. Now, Larry, you still planning on coming and doing the cooking for us on that thing, Larry? So, folks, we're going to have just come and be part of it. We're going to go to the Nephilim Mounds. We're going to go to an abortion clinic. We're going to go to the Gay Pride Parade. We got a lot of great stuff planned. And not only that, unbelievable fellowship. You know this. Those of you who follow me know the importance of boots on the ground, how much I think it is important for us to get out in the streets and walk out and live out our faith. June 14th, make it a vacation. Come and stay for 3 or 4 days. We'll put the tent up early if you want to sleep under the tent. You can swim at the lake. You can water ski it. Well, you got to have your own boat. But there's a lot of things here to be able to see and do in the Columbus, Ohio area. So, Jared, throw it up there. Tim Tuber. I still, Tim, I got to get a hold of Tim and talk to him out there. Those of you clear out there in, where are you? That's Oregon, however you say it. June 22nd, we're having a regional huddle out there, and Tim and I have to firm up a lot of things on that. But if you're on the left coast, there's a great opportunity for you to be involved with it. June 22nd, 2019, that's a Saturday. Man, we got a lot of stuff going on. It's all good, all good. Okay, Chad. Chad's got something coming up. Chad's got something coming up this weekend. Come on in there, brother, and tell you what they serve. This says you look good and sound great. I'm watching on my 43-inch TV. Thanks.
That's right. Hey, I got a face for radio. That's what I tell everybody.
There you go.
We got us a big event. This is our monthly event coming up this weekend on Friday, 7 p.m., stuff like that. So please, RSVP, if you plan on being here. If you can't make it until Saturday morning, we're kicking off at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday morning if you can be here. But please send me an email, texas@saltandlightbrigade.org, and we'll get you fixed up.
I just got to say, Chad's doing an unbelievable job down there in Texas. Chad, you know what I think about you, buddy? And I don't have a man crush on you or anything like that, but you're a stud. Appreciate all you're doing. I want to give a tip of the cap. I don't have it prepared this one because, again, I've been having some computer issues and different things. Jim Kraft and his crew down in Panama City, have now built eight little buildings. They've Denny and the Iowa guys, they went down and helped Jim as well, as did Don Marshall. I'll try to get some pictures. They sent me some pictures, but I just didn't get them queued up this morning. Distracted a little bit. And so so thanks to Jim and those guys that are doing a lot of great stuff going on. A lot of great stuff going on. Let me stop for a minute. 15 minutes into it, 13 minutes into it. I got a plethora. That's a big word I learned this weekend. I have a plethora of stuff to throw on the table, but I just wonder, anybody out there got anything? Let's start right here. Let's start right here. Let me hear, folks, you know that if you listen to this show, or if you're a new listener to this show, I want to make it very, very clear. I don't know everything. And one of the things that gives me the willies is when people begin to quote me as if I'm some type of scholar, everything that I throw out on the table here is stuff that I've come across, and I read the scriptures. And what I read in the scriptures and what I see going on in the church, they do not match up. And all one of the things I like to do here is just ask the question, why? Can somebody explain to me why we do this when the Bible says this, or why the Bible says this and we do this? Traditions, we talked about it last Friday, teaching his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God none effect, coming off of Easter, that Easter tradition and what that's all about. And to see yesterday, again, the churches, from what I understand, were jammed with people. That's a good thing. That's a good thing that people run to church on Easter. But is it possible, folks, that Easter, just like Christmas, has lost its meaning? Is Jesus at the center of Easter? Is Jesus at the center of Christmas? And when people leave the church, in other words, where are all those people who come on Easter Sunday? And a great question is, why does the church cater to those who come on Easter Sunday when they clearly are, they must have some sense that they're Christians or they wouldn't come in the first place? They chose on Easter Sunday to come to church. What is that? Can somebody help me with that? What is that dynamic? What is that dynamic that draws people to church on Christmas and draws people to church on Easter? I'm going to open up here. Can somebody explain that to me?
Yeah, Coach, I can give you, and you remember this, as a Catholic, you had to go to Mass on Easter. Remember?
Yes.
It was an absolute requirement for the whole year. It would be a sin if you didn't go to Mass during the year, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like a venial sin. But it was like mortal sin if you didn't go on Easter.
That's true.
And so maybe that has, fell through.
Well, they say they say 23% of the population is Catholic. Now, we know a lot of them have fallen out of the Catholic Church. And maybe that's just part of that tradition that's ingrained to us, that people run to church on Easter Sunday. And don't get me wrong, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that they're running to church. I'm scared about the message that they're receiving while they're there. Larry?
I think it's a lot like the dynamic that we see in our military environment. As a military officer, you are expected to go and take your family to church, not only on Easter, but just whenever, right? But they do it because the military expects it of them. And their relationship to God is a result of their military influence instead of their life being a result of their connection to God influence.
Mm-hmm. So it's again, Larry, it's traditional, right? It's cultural. People run to church on Easter Sunday. The Easter egg hunts and all the Easter egg hunts, those are designed to draw people into the church, aren't they? Now, see, that goes back to the whole debate before, is the church place for unbelievers to be? And that's a whole debate in its own. So I'm wondering if any of you have any war stories from what happened yesterday at your church. Let's just open it up, then I'm going to dig into this a little bit deeper. Anybody at all?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, George. Morning. Happy Easter.
Morning.
Happy day after Easter. Hey, George. He's risen today as well. He didn't just
Amen.
Write. He's risen today.
Amen. He's still on the throne today. Yeah. Hey, I have kind of a pleasant story, actually. Pam and I went to Life Church. Probably many in the show have heard of it, with our kids. We go there once or twice a year, which is plenty. But actually, the pastor really did a good basic message. We left there thinking if someone either hadn't heard the gospel or they've fallen away, it was actually a very good gospel message. So, and I can be hard on a lot of these big churches. So to be fair, like I'm Fox News, I'm fair and balanced, right? So I got to give the good, bad, and the ugly. And so it actually, Coach, I was pleasantly surprised, to be honest with you.
Good. Gave me a real true message of what it was all about. Is that what you're saying, George?
Yeah, he really did.
Hey, folks, I'm for the church. I'm not against it. I'm for him. Somebody else. Anybody else?
I was
all right, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm at Western Yellowstone right now. I went to a First Baptist Church there, and we went to the Sunday school. And this guy wanted to talk about Easter and how it affected your life. And a lot of the discussion was devils, the influence of trickery of the Easter bunny, the eggs, and so forth. Talked about the Roman Empire and stuff this way. And then the service itself was five hymns, some scripture reading, and a five-minute sermon.
Five-minute sermon. Rest of it was entertainment. Is that what you're saying, Jeff?
Yeah. And we had a lot of people go from the South, the East Coast, who came to visit. So, all right.
Amen. Okay. Dale, you want to say something, Dale?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to talk about my message. That's kind of iconic, you know. I mean, I preach. But you say anything unique about service? All right, so my associate pastor almost burned our church down. And we had a sparrow flying around in our church during worship service, brother. And it was just, you said you want something strange. That's about as strange as you can get, brother. You know, because of the message of, you know, that God even cares for the sparrows in the sky. Here we got one flying around in our church. My associate pastor's doing a lesson on sin vanishing, and he's using that flash paper. And he throws it in the trash can, and it's still lit. And I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go.
Oh, man. Well, eyes on the sparrow. God bless. Anybody else? Anybody got a story? Doesn't matter if you don't. Come on in, Jeff.
Hey, I got just to share yesterday. It was a good Sunday morning. Great message. Kyle did it, Pastor Bill's son. But I had a young man, 12 years old, in trouble with the law, looking at juvie, no father, been toying with drugs. Teachers don't like the kid. No, it just pitiful. You know what I mean? Yeah. Young man, he hung with me this weekend a little bit. I've been putting a little time into him this week, and he come to church, and we had a good time. It's, you know, and I explained to him what's going on with the service because he has no idea. And at the end, I told him, and I said, well, I said, young man, his name's Alex. So just pray for Alex. But I told him, I said, Alex, I'm going to go up and pray for you because there's people come to the altar. And I said, now, if you would like to, you're welcome to come up here with me. But I'm going to pray for you. And, buddy, I took the first three steps, and this boy was hightailing it up there with me with his long hair and everything and knelt down there, and some of the men gathered around him. And we're just explaining it to him that you got to be around some good men. So it was a good weekend. The kid had a smile on his face, and he just – we're going to invest some time into him. But there's a lot of them out there like that. And he's also getting ready to join a gang. You know what I mean? Craziness.
He can join our gang. Jeff, tell him he can join our gang. That'd be the best thing to do.
That's what I told him.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Hey.
It was my birthday Saturday, and they said happy birthday to me.
Well, good. It's happy birthday and then get out of here. That's probably what they said. I'm scrolling looking for something here that my wife, Michelle. Where did you find that? Text me, Michelle, where you found that it was still dark when they went to the tombs. I want to share that with people as well. Anybody else? No, doesn't matter.
Hey, Coach, I got one. We had a guy, we're a small church here in Indianapolis. We rarely have even the Christer visitors, you know, the Christmas and Easter visitors. Yep. We had one yesterday though. And he, so I went up and started talking to him, and, He's telling me we're right across the street from some apartments, so he just walked over. And I said, oh, that's nice. And he said, yeah, me and my wife live over there. And I said, oh, so you came over, but you didn't drag your wife out of bed or whatever? He said, no, this is just, I'm only here because of a school assignment. I said, oh, really? So on Easter, he shows up to our Easter service for a school assignment. He's in a religion 101 class at a local community college. So, oh, man, he got an earful of the gospel all morning.
Amen. Well, good. He can do a good report on that one, then, Kenny Dustin.
Yeah, Kenny. Amen. Amen.
Hey, folks, I got up on the screen. Somebody else wants to come in here, Kim, but this is Michelle read this to me. If you watched the show last week, we were talking about traditions and things we taught, and we think we read in the Bible, and it's not really in there. And Jesus, did he resurrect? Was it? You know, we love to do what do they call them? Sunrise services. Thank you, Michelle. Got it. The sunrise services, right? So, oh, man, we want to be there. But see, again, Michelle pointed this out to me yesterday, Saturday morning. We had a good morning together. And she's pointed to where John chapter 20. Folks, look at this. The first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene. Now, listen, I'm going to sink your boat here a minute. First day of the week. The first day of the week. I assume that's Sunday. Would everybody agree with me that must be Sunday? Well, then why do we worship on? Then why do we worship on the first day of the week when we're supposed to worship on the Sabbath? Isn't the Sabbath the Saturday? The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark. She gets there. It's still dark when she shows up at the grave and she sees that the stone had been taken away from the grave. So she shows up at, it ain't even daylight yet, and he's out of the tomb. Folks, sunrise service seems to me like we missed it. We missed it. She discovered it. It wasn't even sunrise yet. It wasn't even sunrise yet. She shows up, it's dark. They don't have any lights. Just another little tidbit of stuff they teach us that just doesn't seem to be true. Anybody else before I move on? All right, cool. I got a couple things I want to show you here because this video was sent to me. I want to go to it right now, Jared. Because here's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with all kinds of deception, all kinds of deception. And what we see going on right now, stop it, Jared, take it to the 9:20 mark. This is one of those Jason A videos. Yeah, just freeze it right there a second, Jared. It says on the screen, most churches are losing members fast, but not the Mormons, and here's why. But it doesn't really go on and explain to us about the Mormons. More and more people are not – America used to be about 90% Christian. Go back 100 years, we were 90% Christian. Recently, it's fallen to 76. And now they say, some say it's down to 67% Christians. And some of those people showed up at your church this weekend. I'm glad they did. Don't take this wrong. I'm glad they did. But in a desire to try to recruit people into the church, this is about 5 minutes, but it's really worth seeing. We're losing the Bible, folks. We're losing the Bible. Remember, Paul warned us about those who preach a different gospel, and the different gospel they were preaching was no gospel at all. In other words, if you give a little bit, if you give the love, love, love only gospel, that's not the real gospel. And if you give the wrath, 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 wrath only gospel, that's not the real gospel either. And if you give the prosperity gospel, that's part of the gospel, but that's not the whole gospel. And if you give the give everything you own away gospel, that's part of the gospel. It's a bigger stew than what we want it to be. But one of the things we find out's happening is the real heart of the gospel is not being taught in America's churches. And because it's not being taught in America's churches, we are producing false converts. Now, I want to go back a little bit in my own experience. I was amazed the number of emails I got from people who said, Coach, I was raised Catholic as well. And you're right about all that stuff that you're talking about, the memorization and the catechism and everything but Jesus was I taught in the Catholic Church. But see, somehow deep down inside the heart of those Catholics, I want to defend the Catholics for a second. I think I'm still one. They never really threw me out as far as I know. Deep down in the heart of the Catholics is a fear and reverence for God. And I have to tell you the truth. In most evangelical churches, there's no fear and reverence of God. It's like going and visiting some old grandpa that's in a nursing home. It's just all love, 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 love. Because we are trying to adjust the gospel for the culture in which we live, we are losing the Bible. We're losing the Bible. And we ask ourselves this. I got another video I got to show here. I got a lot going on. What good's Christianity without the Bible? What kind of Christianity is it? Let's say you start right at the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, we've thrown that out already, haven't we? That's not even part of the gospel anymore. I mean, we might say it, but we believe we evolved because that's what they're teaching us in our schools. And so now we have a gospel that teaches that we evolved from monkeys. I had the greatest conversation with my little granddaughter. I'll explain that to you later, hopefully as we get to it. But I want you to watch this. It's about 5 minutes worth of what's happening to us here in America. This is from Jason A. And there's going to be a gentleman's going to be speaking at the beginning of as this. Well, he's going to take us through this whole thing. And I'm sorry, I've been so busy. I didn't get a chance to identify who the guy is. But what he says is very, very good. Go ahead, Jared.
With the revealed truth that God has given us in Scripture, I often wonder when Paul warned, he said in the end times, that God would give people over to a strong delusion. I mean, not just deception, but something's very, very powerful in its ability to deceive. And one of the things that many are crying out about, at least conservative biblical leaders are crying out from, is the fact that we are leaving the Bible behind, and we're leaving behind many of the central doctrines of the Bible.
Hillsong is influenced by self-help style theology with the prosperity gospel. Promises adherence a life full of material as well as spiritual blessing. I'm reading this for those of you. Well, it's certainly possible to critique the perhaps packed nature of Hillsong's theology. Its reliance on motivational speech and prosperity gospel narratives of success, for instance. It's also worth asking the bigger question. Why do these narratives work? Hang on, pause there a second. Why does prosperity and motivation work? Why does that draw a crowd? Why does that draw a crowd without any corresponding spiritual, deep spiritual change in the heart of the individual? Go ahead, Jared.
Covetousness.
Yes, sir.
It's interesting that when we talk about foundations, we find that Scripture says that the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. The foundation is the teachings of the apostles, with the chief cornerstone being Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. It's not you or me. It's not any individual. But then the ideas of true unity, in other words, getting everybody together and rally behind an individual leader, basically we look to church fathers who essentially is slash apostles. And we look for those apostles and we gather around apostles. Do you know what he's saying? We follow men.
Yes.
Now, part of the rap that we have laid against the Roman church and even to some degree the Orthodox church is they have leaders which have ex cathedra possibilities. In other words, when they speak, they are speaking on the behalf of Christ, and it had their words have the same authority as Christ's words. The Bishop of Rome, basically, in the 19th century, they developed a doctrine called infallibility, papal infallibility, which means that they can't make any erroneous pronouncement in doctrine. So they say, this is what the Bible says, and this is what we need to focus on. That becomes the same as if it's coming literally from the mouth of God, which I think that any time we claim that everything that comes from our mouth is from the mouth of God, we've already erred in a very serious way. It staggers me that people would have the boldness to arrogate to themselves that kind of authority.
Christianity is losing ground in the U.S., a new survey shows, April 3rd. Is America becoming godless? The number of people who have no religion has risen 266% in 3 decades to tie in popularity with Catholicism and evangelical Christianity, the survey finds. So 23.1% of the people in America have no religion. That shows a chart of how things changed. Mainline Christianity.
We're leaving the Bible behind, and we're leaving behind many of the central doctrines of the Bible, particularly the one that none of us like, called hell. Well, I would just simply say that the words of Jesus were, do not be deceived. Paul gave the warning. He said, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as the apostles of Christ. Masquerading as the apostles of Christ.
Here's a pastor is wearing, then John Gray, a pastor from South Carolina, was shown in blood red Air Yeezy 2s, the sneaker made in collaboration with Kanye West that cost $5,000 a pair. So the pastor's in the pulpit wearing $5,000 sneakers. Instead of digging in his heels, the account creator found his opinion shifting. This is a pretty slippery slope to be judging people's hearts behind how they spend, said the pastor. You should really consider looking at yourself in the mirror and how you're spending your money. So he justifies $5,000 sneakers.
I was called, I was sent forth as a messenger to preach the gospel where it had never been preached. I doubt very seriously, because we have no scriptural indication, that Paul went around with a title, refer to me as the apostle, please. He was just simply Paul. He begins, Paul, the bondslave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle according to the will of God. But you see, we insert capital A as apostle. He says, my ministry is to go forth and plant churches, to build the work of God, to lay foundations that's never been preached before.
The verb, you're an apostle. You go around and you help others build.
The A apostles ended with the 12 apostles. They became part of that founding foundation of the church.
Justin Bieber, Hillsong, the evangelical megachurch that helped save Justin Bieber's soul and his image. They saved his image. If religion and faith are as much about how we see ourselves, our identities, our personal brand, as they are about what we believe, then Hillsong has cornered the market on a particular kind of self-identification for young Christians. It's fair to ask whether a church as social media engineered as Hillsong represents real Christianity. But it's also fair to ask the reverse. If it didn't use its mass market appeal to spread the gospel, would anybody listen? In other words, how do we appeal to this generation? Okay, Jared. The doctrine of hell. How many of you, I wonder how many people who went to church this weekend heard a sermon that spoke specifically about how Jesus could better your life? And that are you down in the dumps? Are you in the doldrums? Well, come to Jesus, and he'll lift you up out of those doldrums, and he'll make you feel happy, and he'll just be the best friend that you ever had. And all of that is true. But that's not why we're supposed to come to Christ. We're supposed to come to Christ to flee the wrath to come. That salvation is a deadly, serious issue. That when you spread a gospel, when you preach a gospel to people of prosperity and health, and Jesus wants to be your best friend, and Jesus wants to encourage you, and Jesus wants to carry you through your day, all of that being part of the gospel and true. I know personally of two couples who not long after they received Christ lost a child. and never returned to Christ. Because we've made church and the gospel about everything except fleeing wrath, fleeing hell, and falling fearfully on your face in gratitude that you will not face hell fire.
But coach, that's fear-mongering.
It is. It is fear-mongering. And we should be fear-mongering. But, you know, those of you who are in the queue, those of you who are listening to the show right now, what brought you to Christ? And what drives you today? I'm going to tell you something. As a 66-year-old guy, I'm no longer driven by prosperity. It doesn't drive me anymore. I'm no longer driven by popular. It doesn't drive me anymore. I'm no longer driven by any of that. I'm driven by the fear of the Lord. I'm not fearful in that if I have to do this or I'm going to get in trouble. I'm fearful in that I'm going to stand before him like the five-talent guy and give an account for what I did, for the deeds that I have done. Stand before him and I'm going to give an account. And he's not going to be there. It's going to be a judgment room.
Dave.
Yeah.
I think, and I heard this yesterday to some extent, it's Jesus is there with you when you're down and out, when there's trouble, when there's problems. But there's not an explanation that maybe the reason you're down and out and there's trouble is you've been sinning. It's like it just mysteriously appears in your life, difficult
right.
times. That
right.
difficult right. times just appear. Well, maybe a few of them do just appear. But many of them are a result of disobedience to his word.
Amen.
And
Amen.
that's not brought up. And then the other thing that intrigues me, I think we ought to have a little more preaching on he's with you during times of joy, during times of success, during times of calm. He's there also. It's always he's with you when all hell's breaking loose. Well, yeah. He's with you he should be with you during the good times too. Most likely he gave them to you.
Well, Roger, how about this? How about this message, Roger, that ultimately it's not even about this life. We're just a vapor. We're just passing through. We have a very, very short period of time that yeah. your heart could stop at any moment. And what's going to happen to you when you stand before the Lord? What's going to be the response? And the thing that, again, coming back to Catholicism, the thing that in that when a Catholic, hey Joe, when a Catholic gets saved, you got yourself a real Christian, because Catholicism trained me in the fear of the Lord. Amen. I didn't know him. I never met him, but I had a fear every time I walked into the Catholic Church. Think about that note on that place, Notre Dame. Think about that church that just burned. Think of the reverence in that building. This was God's house. You don't mess with God. That's totally, completely missing in the evangelical church. We give a message only that he's a great guy and he loves you so daggone much, he just can't wait for you to come and sit on his lap. That's part of it. But that is not all of it. It's the fear of God. It's
the reverence.
Fear of the cross. The fear of hell that drives me to Christ.
Coach.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. I thought about that yesterday because even though it was a very simple gospel message, Life Church has, Pastor Rochelle said, Greg Rochelle said, we've got 33 campuses, 261 services a week. And I sat there thinking, man, this is like a McDonald's franchise. Yeah. You got one guy up there every week giving a message, going out to places where he's not even physically. And I thought, that's right. See, they're weighing heavily on the side of the Jesus you're talking about.
Right.
And I thought about this for a minute, Coach. I thought, could Coach have 33 campuses, 261 service, thousands of people if he's teaching the balanced gospel? And I said, no, the answer's no, because that would drive most away.
Right, right. Hey, so a different gospel is no gospel at all. Yeah, come on in.
I just want to share. I had a story similar to George. I went to a new church. Wife went last weekend. I was unavailable, but a good message. The thing to note after we left, well, I'll share this. I did meet a few of the people and I introduced myself as a servant of Jesus Christ. My name is Mark. And I humbled myself to the maintenance man. I humbled myself to the pastor and the staff, and I immediately offered to serve, and it unnerved them. I'm not a member, you know? So I'm thinking here in my head, how do you, and the way I did it with the pastor is I said, since everyone here serves Jesus, I'm here to serve you. So I think there's potential. He laid down a really strong message. He spoke out against soft Christianity. It's a independent Baptist. But on the way out of there, I was talking to Judy, and I'm looking around the church, you know, and we're looking around the church and whatnot. How long would it take those people to reach our level of understanding of who Jesus is? How long would it take that box? And I'm sitting here looking at a pretty good pastor. He lays it down hard, but he is so far from what we're learning and how we're learning it. I'm thinking, how would they mechanically, how would this church get this information? They have so much organization. You know, you got to do this, you got to play the music, you got to, you know, go through the process. It becomes the process, you know, and I'm thinking, how in the world could they address whenever needs pop up with people like we do? How do they adapt that quick to change that message that morning? In other words, it's all planned and scripted.
And in fact, Mark, would you say would it be safe to say that all the churches were on their best behaviors yesterday?
Well, sure. A lot of young people, a lot of potential for growth here. But I'm thinking if we want to get our message into this church and improve what they're doing, and I'm all excited about it, mechanically, how do I get it done? The process is like a machine, you know, and yeah. I just don't see it being agile enough. And I know a lot of good churches out there are throwing down good messaging, but once you're in that routine, Mark, you know, how would we get them out and go into town, for instance? How would we do that?
Mark, you're right on point. And one major problem in American Christianity is that those 11 or 12 denominations that have come together in that CUIC outfit I keep talking about, they have locked the Holy Spirit out of their agenda because they have all agreed to a 5-year liturgy, and what's supposed to be preached that particular Sunday is going to be preached that particular Sunday, and everyone, the churches of every one of those denominations across the country. The church has locked the Holy Spirit out for the most part.
Hey, Larry, I've heard you say that before, brother, and I believe you, man. Do you have a link where we could read that same thing that you're reading?
I will put it in the chat, okay?
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Dave. Rod.
Real quick, I had a wonderful discussion after church in the home. We came back to the house here for ham and all that good stuff, and I just want to – what Mark said, I think, is pretty important. We had a discussion, and I'm so grateful for the huddle, because I was able to bring forth so much meat, red meat. And it wasn't that everybody needed it. Most of my family is attending church, so on and so forth. But I had words like, well, you're kind of offending me. And I said, well, that's God's word. I'm sorry if what I'm saying is offending you. And had another relative said, well, I used to leave here mad when you would talk. So, and none of that is done purposeful, but the truth of what Mark said is, I'm just grateful for the last couple years and for the men on the huddle and Dave yourself, because I was able to really just share God's word on some topics. And when you talk to them about love what ask the question, well, what is the definition of love?
Amen.
They don't have an answer for one, many of them. And when you tell them about the scripture says obedience to God's word, they all just kind of look at you like you're a weirdo.
Amen.
But and I don't mean that in a bad way. They're just like, wow, and wow. And I, one of the young people in our family, I said, well, you think your church would ever go out to an abortion clinic? And she just kind of looked at me like, wow, you know.
That's so not love.
My point is, what Mark said is we're getting such good Bible teaching on the huddle. Just keep it up, everybody.
Man, thanks. Hey, folks, if I got 10 minutes left here. I'm going to shift gears. Jared, pull my Facebook page up here. And listen, two things. Number one, folks, I got thanks for that, Roger. Folks, listen, I'm serious as a judge here, okay? I really covet your prayers. I've got a couple things that have gone on that are edgy even for me, and I'm going to be traveling today, and I just ask that you cover me in prayer, especially over the next 24 hours. I know there are many out there of you who will, and I'm not at liberty to tell what I'm doing it in this aspect of it, but I am at liberty to show you another one that I've picked up. And Jared, if you go to my Facebook page and find the video that I made on Saturday, some of you have seen it and some of you haven't. But this is the type of thing, folks, that I believe that we have to begin to do. As uncomfortable as it was, it's easy for me to go up to Iowa and preach up in Iowa and tell the people what to do up there. It's easy for me to get in my car and drive down to Chad's and down Texas, far away from home, and tell people how I'll behave. It's awfully hard to do it at home. It's awfully hard. I live in the midst of these people. My wife substitutes within the schools. I'm going to take this issue on. It's a local issue. And this is about 8 minutes, but I think it's worthy of us to watch it. For those of you who haven't, I'll just let this unfold. Please, I covet your prayers over the next 24, 36, 48 hours. Go ahead and play that, Jared. I went out to my local high school. And so I showed up at my local high school. Go ahead. And here it is.
Hey, good afternoon there, Hebron, Ohio area folks. Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer here. Sitting outside, stand up here a minute. Outside my alma mater, Lakewood High School. There it is. Class of 1971. Proud graduate of 1971. My family's been in this community for 60 some years. I'm 66 years old. My family's been here. All my brothers and sisters, we all went through Lakewood schools, every one of us. And as many of you know, I offered my services to be the football coach at Lakewood High School. About 6 years ago, I lose track of time, but I think it was 6 years ago that I did that. And the night that I was supposed to be hired by the school board, a bunch of homosexuals came from Columbus and overturned the decision of the school board. Well, the school board hadn't decided. They voted 3-2 that night not to hire me. And, you know, somebody watching this video right now is going to say, well, it's just sour grapes. Coach, they didn't hire you, yada, yada, yada. You know, to me, it's water under the bridge. It doesn't even matter. It's not even about that. But I hate to do this even on Easter Sunday or Easter weekend because I just couldn't swallow it anymore. My wife tried to calm me down, say, don't do it. Don't do it. You know, she still substitutes in the schools. Lakewood has a school levy coming up this spring. School levy to build a new elementary school. But I found out early last week, and I tried to verify it. Those of you, listen, you can share this video right now. If you know somebody that's in the Lakewood School District, go ahead and share this video with them. Would you do that for me? I found out early last week, and I've been doing some research on it, that the Lakewood High School has a cross-dresser, substitute teaching. I'm sure he calls himself something else. I don't know what it is. It's cross-dressing. They call it transgenderism, I suppose. I mean, I don't know. Lakewood High School has a cross-dresser that is substitute teaching. Now, for all of you ready to pull your rock out of your pocket and throw it at me and say that I'm a homophobe and a bigot and all that stuff, you go ahead and say that. But I've heard from a lot of people over the last 10 days or so as I was trying to verify this thing, that they are livid that your children are going into a school and being indoctrinated into this type of behavior, call it whatever you want to, lifestyle. You don't think that teacher in there, I don't know the teacher. I don't know him dressing as a her. I don't know him. You don't think that's having an influence on the children that walk into a classroom and see a man dressed as a woman as their teacher? Now listen, I'm all for liberty, I'm all for freedom, but you know, as they said in the movie Hoosiers, there's a difference between standing outside and barking and coming in my living room and doing it. And I'm just wondering, on this Easter weekend out there, are there any pastors in this community that care? Any pastors that care? Any pastors that are going to stand up and push back and say, what is going on in the schools? That they're having, dare I say it, a cross-dresser, a man dressed as a woman substitute in this school? Now listen, from what I understand, it's not just Lakewood, but I live in Lakewood. I pay my tax dollars in Lakewood. My family owns, I don't know, how many homes does my family own? We own probably 6 or 7 homes in this community. And then when I wanted to come in and be a Christian influence on the football program, oh no, can't have that. It was Tara Houdeshell. She's like president of the board now, vice president of the board. She's some head honcho. She's the one that's behind a lot of this homosexual indoctrination in the schools. And they want us to vote for the school levy? Are you kidding me? They want to do that? Now, folks, listen. I've laid silently in this community. I do a lot of work, a lot of places. A lot of people hate me, and I don't really care. I'm worried about the children in our community. Not just the homosexual children, all right? Not just the homosexual children. I'm worried about all the children and the indoctrination that's taking place in the minds of all of our children with my tax dollars. Aren't there any pastors this Easter weekend who care about what's going on? Do you think there's any children that are being influenced by a cross-dresser that comes in and substitute teaches? But I know, see, I know what the school says. Well, we can't discriminate. We'll get sued. We discriminated against a Christian guy. You didn't have much problem doing that. It was only by the grace of God that I didn't take you into court and pull your pants down, sue you for everything you had. But at some point, folks, these are our children. They don't belong to the government. They don't belong to the Lakewood local school district. And are there any Christians in this community who are sick and tired of this type of thing going on? And then they have the gall to ask for money for the schools? It's about the children, right? It's about the children. It's about our future, our children, the future. And they have cross-dressers coming in and teaching our children. Well, I'm here to help. No, hey, say what you want. Call me a bigot. Call me whatever name you want. I frankly don't care. I care about those little kids that are going to be influenced it, and about the parents who are going to wake up 15 or 20 years from now and say, what happened to Tommy? Tommy used to be the most wonderful little boy, and now he's going around but you know what Tommy's doing, right? Don't you care? Do you care about your community? Coach at CoachDaveLive.com. Or you can comment right here. You sick and tired of it? You want to fight? I'm willing to fight. Why? Because I care about the kids. I care about all the kids, not just the homosexual kids. I care about those who are being influenced, those who are questioning, those who don't know what's going on, those who haven't yet figured it out. And when the school says, yeah, come on in here, you understand this, don't you? It's a stamp of approval on that lifestyle. You understand that? Stamp of approval for the children. I'm sick of it. I'll fight for the kids Easter Sunday. Go to church tomorrow, ask your pastor, what's going on, pastor? Hey, pastor, are you saying anything about this, pastor? Are you okay with it, pastor? Because I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay with it. It's not about whether I got to be the football coach or didn't get to be football coach. It's about this. Homosexual values are welcomed into the school. and Christian values are not. Now, Christians, you're going to get exactly what you fight for. I'm wondering if any of you are ready to fight. School levy in the spring. Our children matter to us. Give me a stinking break.
All right, boys and girls. So I've kicked the hornet's nest, and I'm gonna be out of town, and then I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna deal with this. So that's why I covet your prayers. And to think how far that we have fallen in the United States of America, that a cross-dresser, I don't know what else to call him, cross-dresser comes in to teach our children and not a peep from the pulpit. Somebody come in and help me close this out.
Coach, we have a storm brewing down here in Louisiana, and your hat's going to be the center of the conversation when we meet with an attorney. We had a young boy in our church who wears he loves his hat. And he had a teacher come and took that hat off his head this week and told him she's sick and tired of him coming to church school with that hat on. She didn't want to see it anymore. And she wow. confiscated it, said he can come back and get it at the end of the day. So we're meeting with an attorney.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Awesome. We're the salt of the earth. We are. I don't know why people are so cowardly. The email, you want to have fun? Read, go to my Facebook page. Read the comments under it. Most of them are 100% behind. People are sick of it. They're looking for leadership. But nobody wants to put their own neck out there. No one wants to put their own child's neck out there. So we just roll over and let them have it. You understand this, folks? They would not hire me because I was a Christian.
They'll hire some freak in a corset.
They got a cross-dressing substitute teacher coming into the schools.
And who knows what that freak believes in? All they know is that he wears a corset.
No, who knows what they believe in? They don't even care.
Well, up until about 6 weeks ago, it was considered a mental illness.
Still is, Roger.
Well, I know that the doctors, medical association or someplace was reclassifying it, but 6-7 weeks ago it was a mental illness.
Folks, I just don't know if you see the seriousness of this. The blatant rejection of Christianity, me to be the football coach, and welcoming in a tranny. An open tranny. Yeah, Alan.
I tell you what I was doing yesterday. We had a powerful service yesterday. Praise and worship was awesome. The power of God was moving. I'm going to tell you what I was doing. I was weeping for our nation, Coach, because of what happened in Sri Lanka is coming here.
It is, buddy.
Get it ready, Coach. You're just touching the tip of the iceberg about the sodomites. But the Islam's coming, and it's going to move in a mighty way, and America is not ready.
Amen.
Yeah, and one other thing. What was just said a minute ago about it being a mental illness 6 weeks ago, that just goes back to what I've always been saying for years. Psych diagnoses are based on the social and political issues of the time, almost all the time based on no science. So I'm just reinforcing that reality that we live in. And parents can't run quick enough to get their kid a psych diagnosis with a cocktail of meds fast enough. They love it.
Bobby, that's what it is, brother. And it's the watering down of the gospel. Well, I'm trying to awaken it here in my community. Hey, folks, listen, I covet your prayers. I'm telling you. I really, really covet your prayers today. Cover me today, please. And I don't know if I'll be in studio tomorrow. I don't know if I'll be back. If not, I'll see you on the road tomorrow morning. God bless you. See you tomorrow.